family. So good to see you in worship today. I want to invite you to stand. Today is a day of remembrance, remembering all Jesus has done for us. He's been faithful.
Remember those walls that we called sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came and he died and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we called death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came and he died and he rose. Those giants are dead now.
You believe it?
This is our God, this is who he is, he loves us. And this is our God, this is what he does, he saves us. He bore the cross, beat the grave, let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God, King Jesus.
Sing it together.
Remember that fear that took our breath away. Faith so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper.
Working all things out, you're working all things out. So yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name.
Together in God's house today. What a powerful truth that song teaches us, teaches me, that my worship can be lifted in every season of life. Every struggle that I face, my praise keeps going up. Amen? My praise keeps going up. So good to see you today. Hey, before you're seated, turn to somebody standing next to you and introduce yourself. Maybe someone you don't know all that well. It's really good to be together today in God's house.
Yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will.
All right, you may be seated. Hey, we're going to continue to worship. Change lives to the glory of God. Let's watch baptism this morning.
Hey, good morning, church family. We get the privilege of seeing a baptism this morning with my friend Josh Shulin. And so Josh did not grow up in church, did not grow up a believer. And really within this past year, coming to Prestonwood and getting plugged in with his life group here, he became a believer and has seen baptisms happen here almost every week and decided that it's time for him to be obedient to Jesus and being baptized this morning. And so Josh, is it true that you're being baptized today because Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
All right, my brother, then I baptize you, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name of Christ, light, sins, death.
So powerful. May we never grow accustomed to that, church. Change lives, really, that's powerful. And every Sunday we see those waters stirred. It's so awesome to know what God is doing here in our church and through our church. And we are thrilled that you have come out on this beautiful fall morning. We're about to step into a season of gratitude and then the Christmas season and just around the corner. Can you believe it? We were just cranking up our air conditioners just a few weeks ago and now we're talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas. But that's life in Texas, right? So really, really glad you're here. You may have come today for your first time at Prestonwood, or maybe you've been several times. Maybe somebody invited you to come to church on your street or in your office, a friend of yours or a family member, and you're here today. We want you to feel like you're just part of the family. If some point in the service, if you could pull out your cell phone and text the word connect to 55125, that's kind of how we digitally connect with you. So you might know the heart of Prestonwood quickly. You get a link and then you can check it out later. So sometime during the service, not during the message, Pastor Connor would not like that, but any other time in the service, get your phone out and text the word connect to 55125 and we'll connect with you. So as I mentioned, we're stepping into a season of gratitude, of giving, and Prestonwood, I tell you, I love our church for many reasons, and one of the reasons is that we as a church make impact, not only in this community, but really all over the world. And so your giving provides a way of doing that. So you can also text the word give to 55125. There's that number again. So the word give will get you a link and you can connect financially and give of your tithe. You can give over and above your tithe. And as we enter this season, I know all of our hearts are thankful for all God has done in our lives. And one of the sweetest ways our church gives during the Christmas season is through Operation Christmas Child. I love this ministry. And I was corrected in the first service. I said our goal as a church is 4,000 boxes. That's way off. I think that may be close to the North Campus goal, but as a church, overall, all of our campuses, 20,000, I believe, is our gift box goal. So if you've not grabbed one of those cardboard boxes, they're out in the atrium. You can grab one today, and there's instruction on how to load it up and what to put in it. What you can know is, just like going on a mission trip, you will go on mission because everything you place in that box, the gospel is put in there, and there'll be children all over the world that are blessed by the ministry of Prestonwood right here in Texas, because we'll send those boxes literally all over the world. So as you leave the service today, please go by if you've not already done so and get one of those boxes. So today is really a service of remembering all that God has done in our lives. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to continue to worship Him. Jesus, we love You. We stand amazed at Your amazing goodness to us, oh God. None of us deserve Your grace, Your love, Your mercy, but You keep pouring it out and pouring it out and pouring it out. And we say thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, we love You, and we pray that our worship today would truly be an expression of what our heart is saying to You, that we are a thankful, thankful people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's stand again.
Your words, blood and tears. declare this in faith today. Your cross is my freedom, your stripes my healing. All praise, King Jesus, the glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking, your love is still reaching. All praise, King Jesus, the glory to God forever. Your cross is my freedom, your stripes my healing. All praise, King Jesus, the glory to God in heaven. Your blood is still speaking, your love is still reaching. All praise, King Jesus, the glory to God.
Church, grab your Bibles, go with me if you would to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is about halfway through your New Testament. You'll make your way to the first and second book of Corinthians. As you're turning to 1 Corinthians 12, a couple of announcements I want to make. The first is immediately following the next service, so about 12:45 in the gathering, we will be hosting our Fellowship of Comfort service. And for those of you who have lost a friend or a loved one in the last months or years, and you know that navigating the holidays is going to be a challenge, and with all of those family events, knowing there's somebody absent from your table, it just might be an appropriate time for us to gather together and pray with one another. And so our ministry staff will be available for you immediately following the next service, about 12:45 in the gathering. If you would consider coming and joining us, we just want to take a few moments to pray for you. No registration or RSVP required. Just please show up, and we will take that time for prayer. Also, next Sunday, we're actually offering a class following the last service, again, about 12:45 in the gathering again, and we'll provide lunch for that. And we're calling that class Surviving the Holidays because many of you, again, navigating this new normal, perhaps you've lost a loved one in the last several months or years, and so just knowing you're heading into this season of gathering and it's going to be a challenge, we're going to offer some tactics in a class that is specifically built for you. So consider joining us next Sunday afternoon. Again, lunch will be provided for you as we navigate surviving the holidays together. Today, however, we are in the last 2 weeks, if you can believe it, of our sermon series, Distinctives for Disciples, talking about the things that mark an individual who has been marked by God. And I am super excited for us to discuss this distinctive. This is probably my favorite subject of conversation because we're going to talk about the distinctive that is the church. And I am unapologetically a churchman. I mean, cards on the table, I am a super fan of the ministry and the mission of God's church. I am a total homer when it comes to the work of God's church. And you all know a homer fan. You all have a friend or a family member. Perhaps you are that person who's just optimistic every season that this is going to be your year, that this is the year you're going to win it all. Your team is going to win it all. They're going to go undefeated. And then just a few games in, inevitably, you are defeated and discouraged. But you have an excuse and a justification as to why that is, in fact, the case. I think this is true amongst all sports teams everywhere. I have found Texas A&M Aggies. There they are. We all know about that cult. I would say I have found my Aggie friends to be about the most optimistic, the greatest homers when it comes to loving their university, which is in fact a great school. But I hope today to convince you that we should all be super fans of the ministry and the mission of God's church. There is something supernaturally distinct, and I would even tell you, I think I'm going to prove to you, there are some supernatural distinctives about and within the ministry of God's church. And here's why I think this is so important, because it's been my experience that a lot of Christians talk about the church and they talk about the church as though it is a place. But let me just tell you, the church is a people. God's church is not a place. God's church is a people. And it's important that we understand that we are the church. We are the redeemed people of God. And I think Paul is going to try to express this sentiment to the Corinthian church when he is trying to help them understand what right and reverent worship looks like found within it. I think this is fascinating that when Paul is trying to address some of the confusion regarding what constitutes reverent worship, the way he speaks about that is by elevating the ministry and the unity that is found within the church. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be in a few places today in our New Testament, but I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll start reading together in verse number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, start with me in verse number 12. If you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one spirit. You probably picked up on his theme. Five times, two verses, Paul uses this word one to speak to the supernatural unity, the commonality that is shared within the church. And here's what we know about the ministry and the mission of church. There is no other organization anywhere on the planet that can compete with or compare to God's church. Greater than any government, greater than any business, greater than any affinity group, and more substantial than any philanthropic organization, the church transcends all peoples across all periods of time and in all places everywhere. The church is nothing shorter, nothing less than a divine, God-given, God-empowered miracle here on earth. The church is supernatural, and I have seen just the supernatural nature of the church manifest in many specific ways. One of the ones is, I remember very distinctly, in 2018, my daughter Hannah was sick, and our family had an extensive stay in the hospital in response to that. And so there is a bonding, kind of a connection that is often made between families when you find yourself navigating one of those hospital seasons. And so in the ICU, there's a specific bond amongst those parents and families just because of the a difficulty of the disease or the illness that your loved one is having to endure. And so in that season, Mary and I were making friends with some of the other families in the ICU because you're heating food up in the family lounge in the microwave or grabbing something out of the fridge. And as you cross over, you're like, hey, how are you guys? Nice nice to meet you. My name's Connor. And then you'll start the conversation, like, what are you guys here for? And then they'll start to ask you, and so you begin to dialogue. Well, there was a Spanish-speaking family that was two doors down from us that we struck up a relationship with that became a friendship. And very quickly, in the days that followed, I began to inquire of them as to whether or not they had faith, whether or not they belonged to God, whether or not they knew who Jesus was. And to my joy, this family did have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. They were very strong in their faith and in their commitment to Him. And one of the ways that evidenced itself, where I was able to see just the reality of the gift and the divine miracle of the church, was I asked these parents, because I speak some Spanish and this father spoke some English, if I could go into their room and pray for their son. So I went into their room. I prayed for Mateo in English in a room where everyone else was speaking Spanish. And then to my joy and yet surprise, 2 days later, they walked into Hannah's room and in Spanish, in a room that was speaking only English, they prayed for my girl. That's the church. Our background wasn't language. Our commonality wasn't experience. Our relationship wasn't forged on pedigree. It was built around the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And this is what God has invited us into. And so what I would tell you is I think that the church itself is distinct. There's just no other organization anywhere in the world that can compare to it or compete with it. But in addition to that, the church, a healthy church, should have some distinctives, some things about it that are just unique to those who belong to it. Again, the church is not a place, it is a people. So turn to the left. You've been in Corinthians, but turn to the left. I want to take you to the book of Acts, where the church was born. And in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches during the Jewish festival of Pentecost, just after Jesus' ascension into heaven, and the Holy Spirit has then fallen upon the gathered church. And in that moment of supernatural representation, when the Spirit of God falls upon the people of God and the church is then born, Peter preaches and people respond. They repent of sin and confess Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And immediately there is the gathered church happening in Jerusalem. And Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42, and we'll read through 47, kind of captures some of the distinctives that mark this healthy New Testament, this very first church. So this is Acts chapter 2. Start with me in verse 42. If you're there, say, I got it. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. If you mark or highlight in your Bibles, and I always encourage you to, I would ask you to circle or underline or highlight that word devoted found in verse 42. Because the Bible says here that the people that made up the church were devoted to something. And there is something supernaturally good, a flourishing of sort that you can see happens to the church for the people who find themselves devoted to it. Again, the church is not a place, it's a people. And what is described in Acts in this very first church is healthy. And sadly, for many of us with any type of church background, some of what we have experienced in our lives has not been healthy church. Right? I know some of you, even today, come into our church, our local gathering of the redeemed people of God that call Prestonwood our home, and your experience has been a wounding. It has been an unhealthy church, but I've seen that, witnessed. I've lived that even on several occasions. I can remember just when I was getting started into the ministry, I had a friend of mine whose parents belonged to a very small church in East Texas, and they extended to me a preaching invitation, And so I was excited. Mary and I loaded up our kids and we went to East Texas to preach for this small church. And they announced that a young preacher was coming that Sunday as a guest communicator. And so they got the word out through their email distribution list and however it was that they communicated. And about 100 people showed up. I mean, they really blew the doors open. And that was a huge Sunday for that particular church. It was a small church. I remember when our family with our little children checked into the children's ministry, my kids made up the entirety of the children's ministry that day. It was a small church. And so I preached, and afterwards I had people come up to me. They're very kind and were saying kind things about the message that morning. And one lady pulled me aside and she said this, "Preacher, if we were to call you to be our pastor, would you put the chairs back up on the stage where they belong?" I was like, "Ma'am, I am not old enough to have this conversation with you." Not everybody has a healthy church experience, but there are some indicators of what constitutes a healthy church. And Acts tells us that there are a few markers that we can see here. The first one is this: a healthy church is devoted to sound biblical teaching. Sound biblical teaching. What makes a church healthy and worthy of our devotion is its commitment to the scriptures. The gospel is central. A healthy church elevates the person and work of Jesus Christ, where the gospel is central amongst everything that is said, sung, and done. In fact, in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Well, we know from earlier in that same chapter, what was it that the apostles were teaching? They were teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were using the Old Testament scriptures to argue for that. And so we need to understand, be leery of any church that leads with, "I just think that," but find confidence in a church. Devote yourself to a church when they say, "God's word says." Right? A healthy church is devoted to sound biblical teaching. In 2018, my church in East Texas gave me a sabbatical, and Mary and I took for 6 weeks time away from our local family of faith, and we visited other churches on Sundays. And one of the things that was most discouraging in that season is on a number of occasions, in several different churches, we went and sat under the teaching of what we thought would be God's word, and the Bible was never opened. The Bible was never opened. It was never referenced. Jesus was a comment. God was spoken of, but the Bible was not what was taught. And so a healthy church is devoted to sound biblical teaching. The second thing I would say is a healthy church is devoted to fellowship. Devoted to fellowship. The connection that is enjoyed between brothers and sisters of faith is special. Do you know why? Because it's divine. Because again, think about that ICU prayer moment. What connected us, albeit the difficulty we were enduring with their son and our daughter, that was not the greatest bond that had us joined together, one with another, praying one for another. That was the person and work of Jesus Christ, that we were appealing to the same God who had crossed over the varying boundaries to reach them where they were and us where we were. And the church is the place where that kind of fellowship, the word there, fellowship in the Greek, it's the idea of community or communion or a divine intimacy that is experienced one with another. This is reserved for the church. Affinity groups don't have this. Government organizations don't have this. Businesses don't have this. This is fellowship that is reserved for God's church. Without exception, what I would tell you, Mary and I's closest relationships are in the church. The majority in our local church, but all of them within the global church that belongs to the person and work of Jesus Christ, because there's something divine and unique about that. I would say third, a healthy church is devoted to generosity. Devoted to generosity. Again, in verse 45, the church, which is the people, was living generously. The Bible says they were meeting one another's needs and investing into the ministry work of their local church. One of the things I love to hear as your pastor is testimonies that are given when I hear about the ways in which we as a local family of faith are meeting one another's needs. And I get to hear that testimony all of the time. In fact, I got to hear it this week. I got to go speak to a life group that has been the hands and feet of Jesus to one of our own just this week. And I got to thank them on your behalf and tell them how their generosity and their willingness to step into the fray and to mix in with the season of suffering and all the mud that accompanies that is a blessing to me, because it's allowing us to see what a devoted church looks like. It's marked by generosity. Sometimes that shows up in that those who don't have family or close friends nearby, that the church steps in and provides childcare when there is just a date night that's desperately needed by husband and wife. Sometimes it is financial needs. Sometimes it's feeding people when you know that they have certain things going on. They've lost a loved one. They've got somebody in the hospital who is sick or suffering. I see this all of the time, and this is the mark of a healthy church devoted to generosity and meeting one another's needs. Fourth, I would say a healthy church is devoted to prayer. Devoted to prayer. According to verse 42, this church was devoted to prayers, plural. Now, scholars tell us this is likely, I'm speaking of the regular rhythm that was a part of Jewish culture where they would regularly go to synagogue and participate in prayer, but it isn't limited to that. See, one of the things that's evidenced about this church, just in their closeness, in their relationship, in this fellowship that is experienced and enjoyed, is that they prayed with, at temple, one another, but they prayed for one another. And there's something just remarkable that happens when we're willing to do that. In fact, a brother in this church, a good friend of mine, has a daughter who has a genetic condition that has affected a great deal of her vision. And she suffers from it, and it's terrible. And they've had to go see specialist after specialist after specialist to try to get her treated with this genetic condition that she endures. And a few weeks ago, despite having a great summer of doctor's appointments where they were given a really remarkably good news, they were notified that she had some issue going on with her eye, and she was going to need an immediate surgery to try to repair. And so he called me and was telling me this, and I said, well, can I come over and can I pray with you guys? So I did. I went to their house, and I was able to pray with them and over her. And then he had told me in that moment that he had sent out an SOS, a 911, to all of the people he knew within our church and that he knew within the church. And he was going to ask anyone, anywhere, if they would commit to pray for his little girl as she was going to have this surgery. You see, that's something that's shared within the church. One of the coolest things I have experienced in my life is when someone comes up and introduces themselves to me and they'll say, you know, we've prayed for you. Like, I've never met you before, but you prayed for me? Right now, some of you have friends and family that aren't even in near proximity and you're praying for them. You realize that that's not what we do in work. That's not even what we do in our neighborhoods. That's what's reserved for God's church. That's amazing, right? To think that there are people right now who are praying for you, and right now you are praying for them. That's the unity that is found in the church when people are devoted to it. Again, these people, they're devoted. And we've described this devoted church as being a healthy place where there are indicators of how that devotion should generate a natural God-given byproduct that comes from that. Let me read this to you again because I want you to see some of the natural byproducts that come from this kind of devotion to God's church. Look with me again, 42 through 47. We'll go fast. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. And awe, circle that word, awe. It came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You can probably pick up on it. There are some natural byproducts that come from the devotion that is found within this church. There are indications, I would say, of its health. I'll give you just a few of the most obvious ones. The first is a healthy church is in awe of God. I love that in verse 43. It says, awe came upon every soul. The word there, awe, it means awestruck. It's the idea of wonder, that you're in awestruck wonder of God. Awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. Here's something cool to think about. Did you realize that the church is the only organization that gives us a front row seat? Now watch this. And a uniform. We get a front row seat to watch and a uniform to play in a work of God that is miraculous and will last for all eternity. Like, think about how excited we get to go to concerts and to watch our favorite sports teams. And we'll spend hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on tickets for those entertaining events. And by the way, those are great and fun things if you can afford them. But I'm telling you, you can punch your ticket today. to be on the front row. If God has given you the Jesus jersey to wear, you've been invited to participate in the miracle that will last for all of eternity, and that is the work of his church. Like, think about that. Think about what God has invited you and I to participate in. We get a front row seat to see the miracle works of God that he does over and over and over again. Because do you want to know something cool? My friend in this church, the one I told you about who invited me to pray for his little girl, called me this week and he said, "Hey, Pastor, you want to hear kind of a praise report?" And I said, "Always." And he said, "You know how we had begged God that she wouldn't have to have this surgery, and then we were begging God that there might be some type of intervention that would even cause it not to be required?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. That's what we prayed for in your living room." And he said, "But we had to have the surgery anyway, so then we were begging God that it just would not cause her vision to grow any worse." And I said, "Yeah, of course." He said, "We went back to the doctor this week, and he said, the very thing we were hoping that wouldn't have to be done seems to be the mechanism that God has chosen to use. And whereas we were hoping that her vision would not decrease any more than it already had, it looks like it might be restored in some measure." Now, come on. That's what we prayed for. We got a front row seat to see that kind of stuff done all the time. Now, you might say in skepticism, you might say, "Well, that's science or that's biology or that's medicine." And I'm saying that's Jesus. Like, think about the relationships that you've seen, marriages that you've watched restored. And everybody would have written that off. Everybody would have said, "She's too far gone. There's no way he can turn things around." But I've watched Jesus do it over and over and over again, and he's given us a front row seat. So punch your ticket, put on your uniform, and let's try to play. This is the work that God's invited us into, and this is the ministry and the mission of his church. We get to be in awe of God. That's the natural byproduct when we find ourselves devoted to his church. Here's the second byproduct, that a healthy church is meeting needs. Again, when a church is healthy, according to verse 45, because of the devotion that is found by those who are within it, needs are getting met. People are being served. I'll give you one personal example on this one. In James chapter 1, verse 29, the half-brother of Jesus writes to the New Testament church, and he says, "Pure and undefiled religion is this, that you would care for the widows and the orphans." My dad went to heaven in 2017. My mom is a member of this church. She still gets around really well, but she's not quite as spry as she used to be. So there is a deacon named Travis and his sons who are in this church that have taken it upon themselves that every single Sunday when my mom gets here, because I happen to be working, they will meet her in the parking lot. They will see that she gets her car parked. They will then walk her in, escorting her so she doesn't trip and fall. They will get her to her life group. Then they will walk her into this room, and then afterwards I will get her back to her car. For no other reason than they are going to meet the felt needs of my mom. Like, you're telling, like, that's the church, man. Like, that's the ministry of the church. And can I just tell you how much it ministers to me? How do you explain that? That's just Jesus. Right? That's a church that is devoted, and the byproduct is that needs get met. I would say a healthy church is full of joy. According to verses 46 and the first half of verse 47, the church should be a people that's full of joy. Again, I would say not always circumstantial happiness, but rather like a transcendent joy. And why would we, unlike any other organization anywhere, why would we have a transcendent joy? You ready? Because we're on the winning side of eternity. Right? Why wouldn't we be a people of joy? Now think about if you've ever visited a church that is full of joy versus if you visited one that's not. So if you visit a church that's not full of joy, you walk in and the greeter's like, "Oh, yeah, you just have to find a spot to sit." Who's excited about that place? But if you visit a church that's full of joy, somebody says, "Oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. How can I help you connect? Do you want to find a small group? Are you here for worship today?" That we're smiling, that the evidence of us recognizing we're on the winning side of eternity shows up. And a church that is devoted is a church that's full of joy. When they went to temple together, they were excited about it. I knew people who talk about growing up doing drugs, and I was like, explain that for me. They're like, I was drugged to church my whole life. I was like, okay. That's why you're not excited about it today. You know what I mean? Like, think about it. That the church would be a place that is full of joy. It shouldn't be laborious for us to come to church, to be excited about church. I was just having a conversation with a very nice lady in our atrium, and she was telling me how excited she was that the parking lot was full. That blesses me. That blesses me because you're excited about what God's excited about, and that is that we are reaching people with the good news of the gospel. Why? Because we're devoted to sound teaching. Okay? So full of joy. I would say the last byproduct that's obvious in a healthy church is seeing lives changed. Seeing lives changed. I'm going to dedicate the entire sermon next week to the distinctive of evangelism, but I would just say this. A healthy church is an evangelizing church. A healthy church is an evangelizing church. That we would be a place or a people that sees and celebrates life change. Let me hone in on that for you. That every single Sunday, when we see the waters of the baptistry stirred, it would never grow old to us. Right? So when you hear the testimony of that guy who was willing and courageous enough amongst friends and family with his sweet wife sitting on the front row getting the video clip of that, like, that's never going to grow old to us. Because we want to be a healthy church, and the indication of our health is that we are devoted to the things of God. And one of the evidences of our devotion is that lives are being changed. So when someone is willing to walk the aisle, when they're willing to come forward and ask for prayer, or give their life to Jesus, or surrender in baptism, or join this family of faith, that never gets old to us. We never roll our eyes at that. We never take that for granted. Because we recognize it is an indication of a church where a people are devoted to the things that belong to God. This is the beauty and the majesty of God's church. And there's nothing like it. And like, man, can you believe he allows us to be a part? Like, I'm never going to get over it. I'm never going to get over the fact that Jesus showed up and he saved me. And not only has he saved me, but he is sending me to do the ministry and the mission that belongs only to him. And you are a part of that work if you belong to his church. So then the natural question is, well, what qualifies a person to belong to God's church? What makes it possible for someone to be the church? Well, here's what we know, that Jesus bought his church. Did you realize that Jesus lived a perfect life that we couldn't live, and he died a sinner's death that we deserve? That Jesus gave his life as a ransom, paying the full penalty as the substitute for our sin. He bought his church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it says this, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. It cost Jesus everything to give us everything so that he, in his death, would give to us life. And there are some ordinances of the church. One of them you got to see celebrated just a moment ago in believers' baptism. The other ordinance that is reserved for God's church is the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, which we're going to celebrate now. And so in just a moment, our deacons are going to take their places, and they're going to prepare to serve us the Lord's Supper. And if you're new to Prestonwood, or maybe you've been attending for some time, but this is the first time you've had an opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper with us, here's what I would want you to know. If you are in Christ Jesus, if you belong to his church, then whether or not you are a member of Prestonwood, I would invite you to participate in the celebration of the Lord's Supper today. If you are in a right relationship with God through your faith in Jesus Christ, then as the elements pass by, please partake with us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. But if you are not in a relationship with God, if you have yet expressed faith in the person of Jesus Christ, if you're unsure where you are in this journey with Jesus, you're unsure of what it means to be a man or a woman of faith, then I would ask, as the elements are distributed, if you would just assist us and help us pass those to the person sitting at your side. I'll explain to you in just a moment what those elements represent, but we just want you to watch with reverence what it is that Jesus Christ has died so that we might enjoy. I'm going to pray, and when I say amen, our deacons will begin serving the Lord's Supper, and then I'll come lead us in just a moment after that. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you today for who you are. We thank you today for what you've done. Jesus, you bought your church. Thank you for giving your life for ours so we could have life with you forever. And so, God, as we celebrate now this action of remembrance, meet with us now by the power of your Holy Spirit and bring to mind the right understanding of what it is that you have graciously given. We pray these things in the name above every name. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus was gathered with his disciples in that upper room in Jerusalem at the festival of Pentecost. Jesus is the only one there who knows what is to come. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it and gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. As often as you eat of this, do so and remember me." And then in the same way, Jesus took the cup. It was red from the fruit of the vine. And Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you. As often as you drink of this, you do so and you remember me." So Jesus, on this day, we remember that day. We remember your death and your burial, taking the punishment for the sins that rightly belong to us. But we also, Jesus, remember your victory and resurrection. And so we thank you for saving us from sin and giving us life with you forever. May we never forget what you died to buy. We pray this in the name above every name, in Jesus' name, amen. So I answered the question as to how a person can find themselves within the church, and that's because Jesus bought the church. He bought the church. He paid the ultimate price with his blood. He gave his life as a ransom for the forgiveness of our sin. But you might be asking, so what about the church today? Well, I would say not only did Jesus buy the church, but he's building the church and he's doing it now. This is what makes the church a supernatural reality that is a given for you and I to experience today and enjoy forever. Look at me. Did you realize that in a million years from today, government will not stand? Did you realize in a million years from today, the philanthropic organizations that are good and right and we should generously sow into will not be around? But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that Jesus died to give is being built and it will exist forever. Amen. In fact, this is his promise. This is his promise. In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible records a campfire conversation that Jesus had in the region of Caesarea Philippi. Jesus meets with his disciples and he speaks and he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they reply, "Well, some say you're Elijah, others say you're John the Baptist or Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And then Jesus had this moment of clarity where he looks them in the eye and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter, the impetuous one, he stands up and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And you are Peter, and upon this rock of confession, I will build my church, and nothing, not even the gates of hell, will prevail against it. And I'm gonna give you the keys to the kingdom, and what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Do you realize we have the keys to the kingdom that belongs to our God, and he's building his church, and you and I can belong to his church. We should be devoted to his church because there is nothing like the church of Jesus Christ. And so the question is, do you belong? Do you belong? And listen, for some, I mean, do you belong to the global church? Have you been blood-bought and redeemed? Have you confessed sin and asked Jesus Christ for salvation? Because today is the day for you to be saved. You need to confess that you need a Savior and trust that that is exactly who Jesus is. And you need to come forward and you need to tell us, "I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be the church." Others of you, you need to make Prestonwood your home. Like, I don't know what you're waiting on. There is no perfect church because there are no perfect people. We worship and serve a perfect God and King. And so, you need to belong. We're better together. We want to link arms. You weren't built to do this alone. Let's do this together. Let's run after everything that God is entrusting to us. And so you need to say, I want to join this church. I want to be a part of this family of faith. The question I might ask you beyond is do you belong? Is, are you devoted? Are you devoted? Like, think about all the things that we devote ourselves to that won't be around for long. And what we could be devoted to that will. Do you need to be baptized? Like our buddy we saw in the waters just a moment ago who gave testimony about the work that Jesus Christ has done. Do you need to be baptized? Do you need prayer? One of the things that the church needs to be devoted to is to prayer. Pray with and for one another. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, I'm going to give you an invitation and the opportunity to respond to that. Why? Because I believe God's word is alive, and I believe his spirit is here, and I believe he wants us to respond to the work that belongs solely and wholly to him. And so I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to ask that just in the next few minutes as we sing the song of worship response and as the invitation is given and people begin to move, please keep the movement in the room to a minimum. I believe this is the most significant part of our service because it's the opportunity people have to respond to what it is that God desires. And so let's just keep the movement in the room to a minimum. Let's pray for the people that God is moving in this place, and let's beg his spirit to fall so that none of us would leave here the same. Father, in Jesus' name, we give you this invitation. We ask that your spirit would move. We recognize you bought your church. You're building your church. We want to be a part of your church. So have your way with us as the people who belong completely to you. We love you. We acknowledge helplessness apart from you. We can't do any of this without you. I'm so grateful. I'm not building your church. You're building your church. And so we ask that you would build it even now. We pray in the name that is above every name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.